Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
And the Lord has brought us to the second Tuesday, the second day of our broadcast ministry in January 2005, which happens to be Tuesday, January 4. And so with the second opportunity in the year 2005 to minister the Word of God, we eagerly open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and pursue our study of this important epistle in the New Testament Scriptures, written by the Spirit of God through the pen of the Apostle Paul and through the mind and the experiences and the thoughts of the Apostle Paul. I don't mean to imply mechanical dictation. I do mean to imply Holy Spirit superintendence and guarantee that all that is given in this book is indeed the Word of God as it is also the Word of a man. But a man who has been prepared and supervised and guarded by the Spirit of God so that everything is spoken is the infallible Word of the living God, even though it is also the deliberations of a God called man. That, in a nutshell, is the doctrine of inspiration. Now, before we get back into Romans chapter 1, let me quickly give you our sermon of the month, number 1. We'd like to send it on cassette tape or CD, whichever you prefer, to those who will write, and give us the call letters of the station along with your return address. And the sermon is three powerful expressions of Christian love and unity. Three powerful expressions of Christian love and unity from Romans chapter 14. It's yours for the asking. Our way of saying thanks for responding to the Beacon Broadcast. Thousands listen, only a few let us know that you are hearing the broadcast. This is our way of saying thanks to those who take the time to respond. The address, once again, the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. And just simply mention Sermon of the Month, number 1. All right, back to Romans chapter 18. Four declarations of the holy wrath of God, the judgment of God upon sinners. That wrath declared in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And then in verses 19 through 21, Paul gives the reasons for God's wrath. And it can be summarized, I think, in two statements. Number one, men's failure to acknowledge God is God. Men's failure to acknowledge God as God. And number two, men's failure to give God thanks. That's what it all boils down to. Verse 21, "But when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." They did not give to the Creator the honor and glory that the creature owes to his Creator, to acknowledge Him as God, the one who has brought me into existence, the one to whom I owe my life. He is God. He made me. He's Creator. I am creature. I have, therefore, a responsibility to Him. It's similar to the relationship that a child has to his or her parents. We owe something to our parents. We understand that instinctively, though sometimes we deny it because of circumstances. My parents were not good parents. My parents were not faithful parents. My parents were not loving parents. My parents were not this. They were not that. Well, those things may be true. And in some cases, the circumstances were very bad indeed. And your parents may have failed you badly. They may have failed you only mildly. Notice I didn't say your parents may not have failed you at all. Why? Because all parents have failed in some respects. How do I know that? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no such thing as a perfect father, a perfect mother, any more than there's such a thing as a perfect child. No such thing. Consequently, you can always find fault with your parents. Not simply imagined faults, as some of them often are, but real ones. You can always find fault with your parents. Therefore, if you start down the path of looking for faults in your parents to blame for, the reason why you are not what you ought to be, you cannot be what you ought to be, you cannot do what you ought to do, you cannot take responsibility for your own actions and failures and shortcomings. Don't you understand? You're just falling into the trap of human nature of looking for an excuse. Stop looking for an excuse and start looking for a way. Now, it is true that oftentimes these frustrations and failures and shortcomings that we have are designed by God to show us our need of Him. And when they have that purpose, they have a very important purpose. When I say stop looking for an excuse and start looking for a way, I'm not suggesting that you have within yourself the power to do whatever you want to do. I'm suggesting that the way is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You start looking for a way to God, a way to salvation, a way to transformation, a way to have God's help and power to be what you ought to be, to do what you ought to do. And stop making excuses. Stop looking for excuses in others, whoever they may be. And there's a whole field of psychology that leans heavily upon the excuse of the parents. You are the way you are because your parents were failures, and therefore you can blame all of your frustrations on your parents. Well, whoop-de-doo. Supposing that is true, and it is usually not as true as we think it is, we tend to magnify the faults of others, minimize our own, the old mote beam problem. But supposing that's true, even to the extent that your sinful heart wants to believe it's true, suppose it is true to that extent, what then? How does that help you? Are you going to go through life blaming your parents and never getting around to shouldering your own responsibilities and doing what you ought to do? What a miserable way to live, to go through life failing, but always excusing your failures because of your parents. What a miserable life. Come on, man, shake it off and get going. You can't keep blaming all your failures upon others for the rest of your life. Take responsibility for your own sins. Deal with them. First with God, then with others. Then with the help of God, change. Change your patterns. Change your indolence. Change your bad attitude. Change your broken relationships. Change your laziness. Change these things. Take responsibility. Learn some discipline. Learn some skills and get busy, and with the help and grace of God, become what you ought to become. Quit blaming others for your inability to do so. Come on, man. Come on, woman. There is no such thing as a perfect parent, so consequently you can always find fault with your parents. But we also instinctively understand that we owe something to our parents. The fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, rings true. Why? Because we recognize that as imperfect as they were, we still owe our life to them. We generally give more honor to our mother than to our father because we recognize that her contribution to our life is greater than our father's. Thank God for those fathers who take the responsibility and rear their children, don't leave their wives, leave their girlfriends, leave their responsibilities behind and go off and live an irresponsible life and let the mother and child fend for themselves. Thank God for those fathers who stay around and contribute. They contribute an awful lot. And when they do their job well, we may come to realize that we owe as much to our father as to our mother. But we also recognize that at least initially, the mother bears a far greater investment in the life of the child than the father. The father contributes something, the mother contributes a great deal more in work and pain and effort and what it takes to bring that child into the world, and then what it takes after the child is brought into the world to care for that child. The younger the child, the early days, the mother contributes far more than the father. But we owe something to our parents because we would not be here if it were not for them. So we do owe them thanks. We owe them honor. We owe some recognition to our parents. And we understand the command of God, honor thy father and thy mother. And even where our parents failed, as I say, all of them did to some degree, but some to a rather significant degree, measuring them perhaps by the standard of society. Some have done a great job, some have done a poor job. But even those parents who did a poor job, at least they gave us life. We owe something to them. Well, if that be true, then how much do we owe to God? We owe everything to Him. He gave life to our parents. He designed the universe. He created man in His image. He designed the human race the way that it is. He designed the earth upon which we live and the environment that is necessary to sustain life. I mean, on and on and on it goes. If we owe our existence to our parents in the human realm, and that's undeniable, we owe an even greater debt to God for our existence here upon the earth, because behind our parents and everything that was true and necessary for our parents to give us life, God is behind all of that. He's the creator. We're the creature. We need to acknowledge that. We owe Him as much honor, at the very least, as we owe our parents, and I would suggest a great deal more, because His contribution to our existence is greater than our parents' contribution. We need to acknowledge that, and we need to give Him thanks for what He has done to give us life and to sustain that life and for the many blessings of life that we enjoy. But you see, that is the very area that men fail to respond properly to truth. They fail to acknowledge God as God, and they fail to give Him thanks. They fail to recognize Him and the proper relationship that exists between Creator and creature, and they fail to demonstrate gratitude, which creatures ought to demonstrate toward those who have given them existence. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.